Brian Sotheby, former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com, joins us. Suds, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. What do you think of Gillis?
Well, I think obviously the goalie saga hurt him. You could tell last week that there's some things going on there with Tortorella. But, you know, a little surprising given his track record, given that they have been a team that's been in the mix the last 6 years and through his tenure to just get rid of him. It's a little bit strange, I think.
Well, to me, by firing the GM, essentially the owners, hey, I hired this coach.
Yeah.
I wanted him. The GM didn't want him. So now he's going to have to bring in a new GM who's likely got to keep Tortorella. Like, it's never a good situation to fire the GM and then have him come in and inherit a coach. It just doesn't work. Like, you saw it in Edmonton. And who we don't know how good or bad Ralph Kruger was as a coach. He only had 48 games with no training camp or nothing.
Yep.
But McTavish, for whatever reason, they weren't on the same page.
Yeah, happens everywhere.
Exactly. So the new GM, who knows? Like, if the owner tells him, yeah, you're hired, but you have to keep John Tortorella, it's a tough situation to inherit.
Yeah, there very well could be guys that don't want the job. My favorite coach I had, Dave Tippett. Joe Nieuwendyk came in, boom, gone. Guys want to hire their own guys. A GM and a coach have to have a good relationship. They have to agree on how they want to develop certain guys, what guys are going to get ice time, and if guys should be in the minors or up top and whatnot. If you don't have that respect and rapport with your coach, that's tough. So definitely for any GM going in there, they have to have some sort of relationship with Torts, or it's going to be much of the same.
We had Dan Maher, the director of Central Scouting, on the show earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And gave some really interesting insight into Bennett and Draisaitl and Reinhart, the centers, and, of course, Aaron Ekblad. I think it's safe to say Oilers. They're going to get one of those because right now, the worst-case scenario, they could pick fourth. That happens because they would finish ahead of Florida, and then one of the teams below them in the standings would win the lottery, so they would drop to four. So that's worst-case scenario, I would think, is they get one of those four guys.
Mm-hmm.
All things being even. If you had any of your scouts were like, you know what, the defenseman and the center, everything's even. What do you think the Oilers need to take? A defenseman or a centerman?
I want both. I think if it comes down to it and I have to pick and choose like they will, I would still go with Ekblad if he's there. I just think that when I watched him at the World Juniors, he looked like a defenseman that was ready, poised to be a 17-year-old and make that team is a rare feat. To be a blue liner and make that team is a rare feat. And then to see the minutes that he played, I thought he was very noticeable out there. And at the end of the day, this team has drafted 3-4 forwards, quality forwards, at the start of the draft the last few years. And I think you know what you have in Nugent Hopkins, Hall, and Eberle. And teams, you look back at the teams that have won the Stanley Cup in the last few years, they all have a couple rocks on the blue line, one that can eat minutes, and some of these teams have two, and I don't think you can go wrong if you're strong on your back end and build your way up to the front.
Okay, so yeah, you would take the defenseman. And so you know what, if Marinch, the Nurse, Klefbom, and Ekblad all pan out, then we got four very good defensemen.
Awesome.
And you go with it.
And okay. You can move one of them at some point to try to get better, and hopefully you can shore up your second line maybe through some other trade or signing. I don't see it
in the signing. The free agent pool is very shallow.
I agree. So by trade or whatever, ideally a center with a little bit of jam, as Bennett sounds like, and the size and skill of a Draisaitl, I mean, it'd be awesome somehow to pull something off and maybe get both. But
if Ekblad shot left, I don't think they'd take him.
Yeah.
I think they'd look at a centerman. But he's a right-handed defenseman. They've got Nurse, Marinson, and Klefbom all lefties.
Yeah.
The right, so that makes it, I think, a better fit if indeed it comes down to that, depending on where they're picking it. It'll be interesting. I would probably lean towards a centerman.
Really?
I really do, because I think I can't think of a team that's going to trade you a legit second-line center.
Can you think of many teams that are going to give up their Drew Doughtys?
No, I agree, but I think the Oilers have three guys and you hope that one of them becomes that guy.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have anybody in the system who potentially could become a number two center outside of Ryan Nugent Hopkins if you get a better number one center.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's where I would look at it. And, you know, listening to Dana, you know, Bennett and when the Jonathan Toews comparison, and if he's that competitive, great. I don't see Sam Reinhart fitting into the Oilers mix. I think he's a lot of what they already have.
I agree.
And he's a hell of a player.
Yep.
But he's a lot of what they have.
Very much the same.
Draisaitl's skilled, but he's a bigger body with skill.
Yeah.
Right? Great puck protector. And you know what? If the comparisons are Joe Thornton, I don't mind that comparison at all. Like, and because people forget, like Joe Thornton early in his career, and even now, he's not afraid to whack you a little bit,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
He's obviously got a little bit of an edge. Yep. We hope that he never scores four goals in a game because we're not sure what's going to happen.
I kind of hope he does.
You want to see the celebration?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, sure. Hey, good on you. Storms put her hand up. Yeah. So I guess Storms and Suds, sure. I'm sure Strudwick, too, after the Henrik Lundqvist comments last week. So, yeah, the three of you.
I thought I was the only one that was making sure I was in the building on those nights. Yeah,
clearly. Exactly. San Jose's in town. Suddenly Storms is like, oh, sorry, I've got front row seats tonight.
Behind it's the weird. Bench.
Hair's curled, makeup's done.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Joe, what's happening? Yeah. She's got a ruler out. Hey, what's going on?
His nickname's Jumbo Joe. Ooh,
yeah, I guess. Who knows? A shower or a grower? You don't know. You never know. What's such a mystery about it? You never know. Right? It's kind of the men's equivalent of a push-up bra, right? You don't know.
Yeah, it's very true.
Know.
Very true.
You do not know.
Or is that because he's tall that they call him Jumbo Joe?
Potentially.
Maybe I misunderstood.
Right. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's got big gloves. Who knows? Big gloves. Big feet. Big shoes. Right? Who knows? Yes. The Edmonton Oilers, a few guys, it's like the Oilers, I get the plane for pride, I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some personal milestones at play for players. Is that ever discussed? Like, I think it's obviously being discussed in the locker room. They're trying to force feed Ryan Smith on the power play. It's not working. Just run the power play and Smith will clean up the garbage like he's done for the majority of his power play goals.
Yeah.
Don't try to force on the puck. It's not working. We're on teams like Taylor Hall's 3 points shy of 80. Hasn't happened in 13 years in Edmonton. Jordan Eberle and you know Perron, Hall, and Eberle all three shy of 30 goals. In the case of Eberle, he could become only the 10th Oiler ever to have two 30-goal seasons. Hmm. Is it good to discuss those things openly in the locker room, or is that frowned upon?
I'm trying to think if I've been a part of a team where it was really openly talked about. I don't know if it was talked about across the dressing room, but obviously if you have guys that are at 29 and about to hit 30, you're ribbing them a little bit or whatever. I mean, everyone's aware of it, and I think that's perfectly fine. These guys all have goals, and everybody wants to succeed on a personal level, and I'm sure they'd be happier right now if it was a team level, but right now they are playing for some of those individual things, and that's good. I'm happy that they're putting forth the effort and that they're making games out of these ones late and pushing some of these teams. And it's been some fun hockey to watch the last little while playing against some of these playoff teams, playing Anaheim three games in the last 10 days or whatever it was. You could see the emotion. There was actually some anger and it was a heck of a hockey game the other night. So I think it's perfectly fine. And even if they'll tell you it's not on their minds, it is. They have goals. They want to hit those milestones.
Don't know why you guys are not counting Yakupov in your discussion as future Oiler. Because he's Russian? I hope he proves all you guys wrong. Mike, I don't think Russian has anything to do with it. We were discussing center and defense. Last time I checked, Yakupov plays neither of those positions.
Yeah, and I did say drafted four forwards.
Yeah, which I think Yakupov would be.
He would be in that four.
With Eberle, Nugent, Hopkins, and Hall.
But I'm not at the point yet where I'm.
Yeah, I don't.
Everyone else wants to appoint him stud on this team yet, and I
not all number one picks are created evenly and equally. They're just not, and that it has nothing. Every interaction I've had with Nail Yakupov, no problem.
Yeah,
I have no problem with Nail Yakupov. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought if the Edmonton Oilers organization wanted to make a big statement this year, when Yakupov was struggling early on, I would have put him down in the minors because he could have gone for 20 or 30 games, and it's all about confidence.
Yep.
And when you look, like you look at Nyquist. Nyquist played in the NHL last year. He didn't make Detroit out of the regular season training camp.
Yep.
Then he came up, and now he's lighting it up.
Yep.
Right? There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I know he wasn't a number one overall pick, but just because you're number one overall pick doesn't mean you should just automatically be given everything. And I think that's the one thing that has to change moving forward in the organization. Guess what? Darnell Nurse is Canadian. What have I said? Send him back to junior. Yeah. Has nothing to do with Russian. Yeah. That has nothing to do with it at all. But when I look at Yakupov's game, the 6 goals in 3 games at the end of last season, grossly, overinflated people's expectations of him. Mm-hmm. Never mind that he had a 21% shooting percentage, which we all know is unattainable, right? And I guess the other thing is I look at Yakupov and people fixate on things. They say he's got the best shot on the team. I'm telling you, his one-timer is not nearly as good as people think because, and he's a young guy, but he can only hammer it if it's perfectly in the sweet spot.
Yeah.
And the best one-timer guys, they don't miss the puck. They miss the net, but they don't miss the puck.
Yeah.
And those, it's unfair and unrealistic to say Nail Yakupov is going to be the next Brett Hull. It's ridiculous to say that, right? It's too much pressure on the kid. I think it would, his overall game, and more so his confidence, goes down to the American League for 3 weeks. It's not like he's going to Siberia. He's going to the American League, where he's going to get all sorts of playing time. And number one, his confidence will grow. And I wish they would have taken that opportunity. They're likely not going to do it. I know people are like, well, he won't report. Well, he can't go to the cage. You think he's just going to not report? He might not like it. Guess what?
Yeah.
Lots of guys didn't like going to the minors. And when they came back up and played well, it was forgotten.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I've always been a big believer, and more so just because of the way that I felt like I was developed, that guys need to spend more time in the minors. It's never going to hurt you to play more minutes and to play in situations where you are the leader, where you have the team on your back and playing in all those crucial situations, so that when you do get called up, you're more than ready and you can play those big minutes and you're just more comfortable to play at the pro level. I think they would have had to probably coddle him a little bit and tell him everything's going to be okay. This is good for you. It's for the better of your game. But I think for me, I'm just not ready to put him in that same class with Nuge, Hall, and Eberle because he's not there. He's not there numbers-wise. And to be quite honest, I know a lot of people want to talk about his compete level or because he's Russian or he's bad defensively. I take all that out of it. I actually think that he competes quite hard. I think his will and compete level to get dirty and play physical is there. I think he plays better when he has that.
I agree.
But I don't see, when I watch him and you watch the other three, on most nights or at least once every couple games, they do something to wow you. You see them see the ice. You see them blazing speed, great hands, great stick handling. I don't see enough of that from him right now. I don't see much of a player that blows the doors off people. I don't get wowed by a great pass or a heads-up play. So for me and him, that's what's concerning me. Everyone can learn how to play defense if they want to. I'm just not quite there yet on the belief that there's just elite skill here.
No, I don't. And that's... You know what? A lot of guys develop late. Maybe he's a young late developer. They're, exactly.
But right now, if you're trying to say, why is he not compared to those three? What's he got? 25 points?
Mm-hmm.
I know he's hurt, but he's not there yet.
No.
He might.
And that's
get
not
there.
A knock. That's just how it is. They're not all the same. But just his Russian background has absolutely nothing to do with it. Guys, Nugent Hopkins isn't a number one center on a contending team. The Oilers aren't a contending team next year. They're going to try to become one. And go through the list of... And I'll tell you right now, I think of all the players who will have a better season next year, Nugent Hopkins will be at the top of my list because he had shoulder surgery. He's not very big in to start with. He wasn't able to work out to the level that he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It's painfully obvious. But when I look at Nugent Hopkins' game, he'll have a summer where he's able to train the way he wants. I suspect Ryan Nugent Hopkins will be, all the people that are down on Nugent Hopkins will all be at the front of the line. I love you, Nuge. I love you. All forgetting about it. I will say it right now. Easily. He's the best two-way young forward they have.
Yeah.
Is he struggling? Sure, because he's trying to learn those elements of his game. And he's done it a little bit to the sacrifice of his offense. But still score 20 goals. Nugent Hopkins is the one guy in the team who I think right now people are so focused on the now that they don't look at a lot of the other things that go into the con score. You don't score 52 points in 62 games as an 18-year-old because you don't have skill.
Yeah.
Right? And then had an injury, which he already had before. And then likely last year, probably should have had the surgery. They didn't. And we saw what happened. Yeah. Played with a bum shoulder all last year. Finally had the surgery. And he wasn't able to train. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins next season will be a much better player. Mark my words, much better player.
And kind of what I was just saying is that when you watch Nugent-Hopkins, you can see how hockey smart he is. You can see his hockey sense. He makes passes that you just shake your head and go, wow, at, even in down years or whatever it is. I think when that gentleman's saying that he's not a number one, I don't know if he necessarily means from a skill level, because I think he absolutely, from what I see, can be a kid that grows into an 80, 90 point a year guy. I don't know if he's the guy you want to match up in the West right now against a Backes, a Thornton, a Getzlaff, Kopitar, all those guys every night. And that's why I think you got to have a 1A or a 2 that, as we talked about earlier, somebody that is big, somebody that can play some of those minutes. But I think we're selling Nugent Hopkins a little short if we think that at 21 or 20, whatever he is right now, that he's not going to pan into a much better player.